Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
It's good to be at church. And it's good to have family lunch. A good excuse for those who haven't booked a Father's Day lunch. Yeah, so it's a good option. There's a lot of food. But today, let's open our Bibles in Hebrews 11. Verses 1 to 6. So it says here that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Sorry for that. But before I share the title of the topic today, I want to ask a question. What is faith? Because each of us, Christians or not, we have different descriptions of faith. The world will say that faith is religion. It's belief. Some people, like the new groups now, will say it's a mantra or a mindset. Or sometimes for us Christians, it's something that we equip or we hold on when we need God. When we're desperate. When we need something from him. And to share you actually my life verse, actually 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, wow. And if I'm going to share you my life, there's a lot of learnings about faith. And the reason for that life verse is actually when I was young, my mom was always sick. I remember days when I am at my room crying because my mom's at the hospital with my dad. And my grandma's there cooking food. And that time I learned what believing and healing is. Like asking God, Lord, heal my mom. I want my mom to go home. And years go on, always the same. And I learned that through prayer. God answers. And then the next day my mom's home, yes, Lord. But it became a point of me understanding what faith looks like. And that's one part of faith, if you look at it. Because I was asking God for healing. Right? And if we look at what the dictionary says, it's interesting because Oxford Dictionary says, faith is a strong belief in the doctrines of a religion. It is based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. So the world sees that faith, you have this conviction without proof. That's how the world sees it. However, there's another description. It is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And it's interesting, when we look at the description of faith, these are two separate descriptions. I have, that second description is like, for me, having faith in Jane, because I trust her. I trust that she's going to take care of Liana. That's how I define faith. But then they also describe faith as religion, strong belief. Two separate things. So when I was preparing for this message, I was like, oh, God. I had notes before, but there's a lot of changes because I've been challenged to look at my life on what faith really is, what it is. That's why the title of this message is The Bedrock of Faith. And if you look at verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I remember 2 years ago, if you were here, I shared my very first message here, which was about hope. And it was another personal sharing as well, where I shared a bit of my testimony. But if you look at hope, if you remember those, and if you were not there, hope is a confident expectation. So it's not just wishful thinking, but it's a confident. You have confidence because of Christ. That's what hope is. But if you look at what the author of Hebrews is saying here in verse 1, there's a bit of a difference. So he's saying that faith is the assurance of the things you hope for. So if hope is a confident expectation, now he's putting it another level up with faith. That hope is assured. That hope is assured. Because yeah, I hope I pass the exam. I hope I do this. I hope. But then now faith is saying, the author is saying that faith is assuring hope. Yeah, wow. And it's an interesting thing because if we look at the Oxford Dictionary, they're saying that it's a conviction rather than proof. So how can you be assured without proof? Right, so that's a question. Like, hold on. There's a bit of contradiction happening here in what the author of Hebrews is saying. And if we look at that word assurance, it's actually in Greek called hypostasis, and it means a guarantee or giving substance. It is not a blind optimism or a hope so feeling. And that word in Greek actually is used on a contract basis. So the best way to look at what assurance, hope as an assurance means is we look at the title analogy. So if you buy a house or a car or you rent a house, what is the first thing you get? An agreement, a contract. And even though you don't have the house yet or the car yet, you know it's yours, right? Because of a contract or a title or a deed. That is what the author is saying here. Wow. That faith, you're having a contract.
Wow. So good,
what you hope for, you have a contract. Yeah. So it's very different to hope. That's why it's sometimes we confuse the two, right? Hope and faith. But now hope is having that contract. I'm assured I have it. Because I have the title deed analogy.
Right.
And that took it to a different level. Because now you have it. And in Greek, faith, the word faith is actually called pistis. And same thing, it's used in a legal context. They use that word because of a contract basis. So that word is used in that guarantee or security. That's why sometimes it's good to look at the original words because we need to define, understand what does it really mean in terms of context. Because they're saying that this is a guarantee. That's why if there's one meaning of hope, is of faith, it gives substance to our hopes.
Yeah, come on.
That's one of the definition. Of biblical faith. It gives substance to our hopes. But I have a question. How many of you have been scammed? I did. A lot of you, right? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that story just recently. And the problem with scamming is you don't know, you signed that, but you don't know the other person, the other end. You thought you bought a car or a house or signed up to some subscription, but you didn't, it's a fake person. That's why a deed or a contract is only as good as its source.
Wow.
Right? And this is what I want to share about faith and what I learned. It's all about the source, because that's point number one. Faith is only as good as its source. Yes, we can make up feelings of faith. Yes, I have faith. I have faith. But if we don't understand the source, who is God, our Father, then there's no faith at all. Which is why worldly faith fails. That's why they have this thing going on, faith and feeling, posting on Instagram, but then the next day, they're going back to their normal lives because they never understood the source and who is the Father who is in heaven. In Romans 10:17, Paul was saying here that faith comes from hearing. And hearing the word of God. It's a topic, the context is about salvation. But what Paul was saying, if you hear the word of God, then you can have faith because you hear the promises. You hear what salvation is. You hear what God is doing in your life. You are knowing more who the source is. That's why faith comes from hearing the word of God. And if you look at the gospel, we can look at the Bible, we can hear the promises of God. And what I love in hearing the promises is it invites us to know the promise keeper. That is the object of our faith. That is the source of our faith. And just to share some story, I think you heard earlier. Yeah, we waited for 11 years. 11 years is not quick. I believe you. Yeah, believe me. It's not a short time. It's a long time. We've been doing the right things, attending church, worshiping God, even praying, reading the Bible. But somehow it seems that nothing's happening. So many setbacks. And during my life, I heard things like, you don't have enough faith.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but have you heard of that in your life when you're struggling? Yeah. Hey, Neil, you just don't have enough faith. You need to pray more. You need to worship like David, naked there. You need to dance like David. And sometimes it can be around because then we have a misunderstanding of what faith looks like. The problem with us is we quantify everything. We measure everything, right? And there's a story when in Matthew and Luke 17, the disciples ask Jesus, increase our faith. What did Jesus say? Did he say to pray more, to worship more? No. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, can move mountains. And what does Jesus mean by that? Because mustard seed is actually the smallest seed. So anything below that is non-existent. So the point Jesus is making that is you just need to have faith. That's it. You need to have the presence of faith. Even a smaller seed. Because it's not about the amount of faith, but it's about the presence of faith in your life. And that is how we need to see faith. It's not something that we measure based on what the ministry is or what they are doing at church or what they are doing at home. Those are outpouring of their faith. But it's not a prerequisite for us to gain faith. Because to know faith is to know more of the source. That's what faith really is. So what matters is whom that faith is placed. That's why even when Jesus at the boat sleeping, what did he say to the disciples? You of little faith. Is it a measurement? No, because they do not have a good understanding of the authority of Jesus. They don't have faith at all that the person, the presence that was with them can stop the wind and the storm. Yeah. And what I love with trying to study what faith is if you look at the Old Testament, because we talk about the Greek word, pistis, that's New Testament. It's used in the legal context. But in the Old Testament, it's actually used more often in the covenant to another person, to God, like Abraham and God. And there's this word, the root word in Hebrew called spelled M-N or Hemin. That's how it's read. That's where the word amen comes in, actually. Because amen means sure. Yes, and amen, it's done. Sealed. It's what amen means. That's where the word came. That's the root word emin. And it's a verb meaning to proven to be firm, reliable, sure, and to believe. But that word, the interesting thing with the Old Testament, it's used in two concepts. The word faith and faithfulness. That's why there's this another word called emet, the noun version, which is the trustworthiness, the constancy, the duration, the faithfulness, truth. And most of the time refers to God himself. So to understand faith in the Old Testament is we need to look at God, his character, looking at him, the Father. And if you look at the Bible, that's what it's all about. That's why the second point is faith looks in the faithfulness of God.
Yeah, come on.
I want to share this story in Genesis 15, 1 to 6. This is a story of Abraham after he went out to Egypt and that Sodom and Gomorrah thing. And after these things, in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heavens and not the number, and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offsprings be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. What I love here is, it doesn't make sense. God brought out Abraham to look at the heavens and count the stars. I know, I tried doing that when I was young, never counted it. I'm not sure about you, but it's too much.
Right.
No one can do it. I'm not sure if there's some AI now that can count the stars, right? But no. But that's the thing with faith. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's right.
But God does. Because look at what he said in verse 1. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Before saying the promise, he reminded Abraham of himself, of his character, that I am your shield. And that's what faith is. It first looks at the faithful, the character of God. That because what Abraham has gone through, he was the shield. Because when he was in Egypt, he became his shield. That's why faith always looks in the faithfulness of God. That's why the word emet We're just faithfulness. It is pointing to God, who is constant, who is faithful, and who is true. That's why when Moses, when he was in with the Israelites, he reminded them in Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generation. It is a call for the Israelites to know him. Know him first before that promise. Know God first. I think the problem with us is we look at the promise first. Yeah. And I'm going to go a bit off script here because I think that's a problem why we have prosperity preaching. Yeah. Because we abuse faith. What happens is we look at the promise, we look at that, we use faith, and we abuse the faithfulness of God. Wow. That's what prosperity preaching is. We look at that as the target. But what biblical faith is saying, it's in reverse. We look at God, the faithfulness of God. And then we learn faith. Lord, I'm looking to you. And then whatever you're going to give to me, I don't care. That's what happened to Abram. He never saw that. That's good, Neil. It's all about looking at the faithfulness of God. That's why even the author of Hebrews, before this chapter 11, was saying in verse 10, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to his promise. The bedrock of our faith is God's faithfulness. That is it. That's it. If we can understand his faithfulness, we can learn and not confuse faith with hope. Because it's all about his faithfulness. It talks about God's trustworthy character and never changing, constant, reliable, firm. That's what Emmet is. That's why the word faith and faithfulness in Hebrew are the same. Because you can never separate God, looking at God, and believing in faith. It's the same. You need to have that both. And that's what happened to me. Because when I was taught to share my testimony, oh, that's a long story. But I think I need to look at it, what God has done in my life. Because I remember when Eliana was born, and the first time I carried her, it was never about what I did. Wow. I was crying because God reminded me of his faithfulness. His faithfulness was overflowing in the room, and I was in tears. Lord, it's all about your faithfulness. I remember, I think that was last year or 2 years ago, I was leading worship on Father's Day. That's not easy. That was one of the hardest, I would say. Father's Day that I had, I was like, oh my gosh, Pastor Dave even rostered me. And I blame Aiden and Pastor Dave here. Aiden. But the thing is, I was singing songs, singing Seal Victory, but I remember that day, that moment I was singing, this year, last Father's Day, without son, a child. And it was a promise. And sorry for being emotional. But that's what God looks like. Remember that day. The only thing I can do is believe in that word. Believe in what God said, but believing in his character. Because to share my story, even 11 years before Eliana, when we got married, we don't have anything. I remember we were blessed by my sister-in-law here with a place. But when it was ending, I was like, oh no, I don't have We don't have a place. And we don't have money to go to rent a house. But you know what? I didn't apply for this job, but they called me. Wow. And I was surprised that I got the job on time to have the provision I need, not to rent a house, but to buy one. Wow. And those are things that are our stories in our lives that prove God's faithfulness. And I don't know your story, but having faith is looking back and looking at what God has done into your life. And you know, even moving here to Melbourne, the crazy thing is I got it as a word. I've never been to Australia, never planned to move. I'm a diehard Filipino fan. Born and bred, dying in Filipino. And my in-laws can attest to that. But I got a word. Moved to Australia. I was like, okay. The next month, I met with a friend. Hey, Neil, do you want to move to Australia? I can help you with processing your PR. I was like, okay, God, this is something. But I don't have any money. And I applied. So I got a bit of provision from God, and I applied. I was like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. And I got a PR in a month. Which is something that doesn't happen often. But I was like, okay, God, surely this is you. But then I don't have money to move. And then I talked to my manager, that same company that God blessed me with. I was like, oh, I need to leave Philippines. And I'm going to leave this company soon. I was like, hold on. Your teammate is living in Melbourne and is going to a different team. I have an opening.
Come on.
He's like, I know you wanted to go to Sydney, but are you okay moving to Melbourne? I was like, Melbourne. I don't know what Melbourne is. But really, I have no idea. I have no idea what Melbourne is. All of us look at those iconic stuff, the opera house and everything. So we don't know what Melbourne is. I was like, yeah, why not, right? So I moved here, not knowing, understanding how cold Melbourne was. Remember, first day I arrived, my coat was not even enough to handle that cold. It was autumn. April 17th. I thought autumn was just color. I didn't know there was a cold wind as part of it. So that was me. I was here because of a word, and God has proven himself faithful.
Come on, Neil. So good, man.
So if we look at that story and God telling me at that stage that this is the last time you're going to have. You're going to lead without not a father. Do you think you're going to believe God or not? Because now he's proven himself faithful. And now it's me understanding that faith is looking at his faithfulness. That's why the third point is faith is living in God's promises. Because that's what happened. God has promised me. And I started living it. God has promised us to have a newborn. We always, in faith, have our room, whether it's a car or a space, a room in a house, because we always believe, because that's God's word. And through prayers, through people around us, that's what God promised me. And that's what verse 3 was saying. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. There's nothing visible in it, but through the word of God, things came into existence. So the same thing, nothing invisible in what my life journey was, but by the word of God, things happen. The word of God came to existence when he said, let there be light, it happened because of the word of God. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have the same story as me, but there's this whole book of God's promises. There's 8,000 plus promises in the Bible. But what if you can hear God's voice in your own life through your personal time on what he promised you to have? And I know I have a lot of notes, but I'm sorry, I'm gonna cut this short because it's all about his faithfulness.
Yeah, come on.
It's all about his faithfulness. You know, my life, even when I shared 11 years, it's not easy. It's not easy. Even trying IVF and everything, never easy. Jay needs to do a lot of surgeries. You go to the Philippines, running against my fellow countrymen there, but they're brutally frank, saying, oh, you won't have a child. That's what they say. You cannot. We move here, there's some hope. Yes, we can do this option, but then you need to do the surgery. And then that's what happened. And then another surgery that we just gave up. It's not easy. Sometimes we think that yeah, because God said it's going to be easy. No, it's not. Never easy. But the thing that I learned is the same God who gave me that job, the same God who provided for me for that home, the same God who healed my mom, the same God who moved me from a place that I don't know, is the same God who will. Same God who will provide life. He's a life-giving God. And today, actually, I was surprised because it's two miracle babies that are being dedicated. I was asking Ilaria if I can share a bit of her story. Because when Nicora was born, she was as small as an iPhone, right? Imagine that. It's easy to give up. Easy to give up when you see things around you. But when you look at the faithfulness of God, when you look to God rather than your situation, when you look at his promises, then we can understand what faith really means. That's why these guys, they were able to please God because they understood what faith is. This chapter is all about the ambassadors of faith because they knew and understand what faith really is. Looking to God. Even if you look at verse 13 and the end of that chapter, they never saw the promise. But they live as if the promise was given to them. I started the question, what is faith? Because faith without looking at the faithfulness of God is no faith at all. That's secular faith. That's worldly faith. It's a misdirection of what faith is. We can pray more. We can do more, worship more. But without knowing the faithfulness of God, then we fail to understand faith. Yeah. It's why we only need to have a faith as a mustard seed. Because that's our part, a small amount of faith. Because it is a big God who's going to do the rest. We just need that small mustard seed because it's never about us, by the way. Never about us. We don't make faith about us. I can share my story, but it's never about me. Yes, God is faithful in my life, but it's about what he did in my life. It's not how I prayed more. There's no formula. There's no you need to pray three times a day and worship for 1 hour and you need to sing in the key of C for you to be able to break through. And no, there's nothing like that. It's only understanding faith. That's why you see this chapter, by faith. It became a prerequisite. Because faith looks at his faithfulness. So they were able to see, and some of them saw the promises, partly, like having Isaac, but some didn't. And that's what faith means. It's a confident trust in the eternal God who is all-powerful, infinitely wise, eternally trustworthy. The God who has revealed himself in his word and in the person of Jesus. And as I invite the band to come up, that is what actually my life is. That's why my daughter's name Eliana, because it means in Hebrew, God has answered. It always reminds me that no, it's not about me who did it, but it's about a God who I worship, I pray, and I believe in, and throughout my life, learning His faithfulness, knowing more of Him. It's all about Him that answered. And has given us a daughter. And I don't know your journey right now, but maybe for some of you, you're praying for healing, or maybe you were in the same story as mine, or praying for a child, or maybe you're praying for provision. Because to be honest with you, even now, I'm in another season where I don't know what to do. Because that same job ended. And now I'm not having a job, but I got a chance to have a time with my daughter. And that was a gift. But then it's crazy if I'm not gonna believe God will give me a job after what happened. Because God gave me that before. God moved me here. God gave us a child. What more He can, what else He cannot do? So today, just want to pray for faith. So may I invite everyone to stand up. Because I know today is Father's Day. And that word faithfulness actually can be hard. It's easy for me to understand because I have a good relationship with my Father. Faithfulness is something that I can rely on Him. But for some, maybe it's hard. No, they don't. It's hard to grasp what faithfulness looks like. But faithfulness is an attribute of God. We cannot remove that from His character because that is who He is. He's a faithful God. He's a loving. He's constant. All this other attribute comes together and He becomes that God who we can rely and trust. He's our firm foundation. And if you're doubting, you know, the great thing is God sent His Son to be the founder and perfecter of our faith. That's what the next chapter talks about in Hebrews 12. He sent His Son to be an example of what faith looks like. This is what faith looks like. So if you don't understand what faith is, if you cannot look to me as a faithful God, this is what faith looks like. I sent my Son Jesus. And earlier Dave shared in communion, remembering what Jesus has done. Because He is the founder and perfecter. He perfected faith. Because everything He does, I will do what the Father will want me to do. I will do what He wills. Not what He wills, but what the Father wills. He always look at the Father. That's what faith does. And I want to end again with this verse in Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So Father, we just thank you today. Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry if we misunderstood faith. If we thought of faith as a feeling. If we thought of faith as doing more. But Lord, all those doing should be part of our outpour of our faith, not a thing that we do to have faith, Lord. So Lord, we're sorry. And we're sorry if we did not include you in our faith journey. Lord, today we look to you, our faithful Father. May we have an understanding of faith. Emet. The word emet. That faith and faithfulness. The word faithfulness, something that will permeate in our hearts. And Lord, teach us, our God. Lord, in our journeys, in our challenges right now, Lord, as we pray for provision, for healing, for breakthrough in our lives, Lord, may you remind us of your faithfulness. Just like Abraham, how he spoke to him, hey, I am your shield. Lord, we ask that may you speak to us. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. And Lord, help us to look at you. Look at the promise keeper. Look at the promise keeper, not just the promises, but the promise keeper. Lord, correct our hearts today. And Lord, may we understand what a faithful Father really means. Especially today, this Father's Day. Lord, we want to learn more of your faithfulness, your trustworthiness, your firmness, your constant, your sureness that whatever you say will happen. Lord, we want to know more of you. So Lord, we ask right now that may you heal our hearts, Lord, and teach us to believe and to know faith properly. And Lord, we thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.